We're, of course, in a very unique position right now with the economy, labor shortages, very high inflation, and of course, the Bank of Canada raising the interest rate a full percentage point to 2.5%. Why are we seeing all of these interest rates going up?
Well, as you said, inflation in Canada is at about a 40-year high. Probably since the early 80s, I think about since 1981, in fact. I don't think we've had an inflation rate at this level of around almost 8%. As it is in many, if not all, of the advanced countries, we're seeing inflation levels that we haven't seen in a long, long time. In the United States, it's over 9%. That's a 40-year high. In the United Kingdom, it's over 9%. That's a 40-year high. Even in places like Germany, it's 8%. So this inflation is new, it's high, it's an international problem, and the main way governments deal with it is by through central banks raising interest rates, which is what we're seeing all over the developed world and elsewhere.
There are some fears with regards to these interest rate rising in the increases. There's been fears of recession. Do you feel that there is that risk right now?
Well, there is that risk. I mean, history tells us that when central banks like the Bank of Canada try to cool down overheated economies, and the central bank in this country in its monetary policy report of yesterday or the day before actually described the Canadian economy as overheated. When central banks try to cool economies, they try to do it in a way that doesn't create recessions. But often, historically, we have seen that it does lead to recessions. It's a delicate balancing act between trying to cool down an overheated economy without tipping it into a recession. And if you read the monetary policy report of the Bank of Canada from the other day, there's a whole section in there where they don't actually use the R word, but clearly they're alluding to the risks of a recession if they're unable to bring inflation down and inflation expectations among the Canadian public in particular down in a relatively short period of time.
Now, in terms of actually cooling things down, cooling inflation, these incremental increases, is this proven to help curb the inflation rate?
Well, it's the main tool that central banks have. It's the main method of reducing inflation that countries have adopted for decades now. And it usually works. It will work. The question is how long it will take before it really has an effect. There is a lag effect. How many interest rate increases are needed and how large those increases need to be. And the Bank of Canada, you know, doesn't really know the answer to those questions. They make very informed estimates of what it's going to take. And we've seen, I guess, this year already three interest rate increases. And I have to say, we start from a historically low base of interest rates. That's the other thing to keep in mind. I mean, interest rates have been historically low, even before the pandemic, but certainly at the beginning of the pandemic, Canadian Central Bank and other central banks reduced interest rates because of the effect on the economy of shutting it down, basically, to deal with the pandemic. So we're starting from a low base, but they are increasing them significantly. We saw this 1% increase the other day, and that's the largest single rate increase by the Bank of Canada in almost 25 years. And it's likely that we're going to see continued rate increases throughout the rest of this year from the Bank of Canada. They've signaled to that effect back in January or February when the governor of the central bank said, you know, they're moving to a rate increase posture and it's a path, and a path has more than one step. And so he was clearly signaling that we're going to see several rate increases throughout this year at least.
So taking an incremental approach to balance the effects of raising interest rates with the goal to help to cool things down with regards to inflation. I guess to think about consumers, what does this mean for the everyday consumer?
Well, you don't have to be an economist to know that there's a lot of inflation in the economy. I mean, we all see it and feel it, I think, every day. Unless you're extremely wealthy, most people are noticing in a very big way the inflation and the way it's affecting their budget and their lifestyle. There's actually a Léger poll this week that said, found that 81% of Canadians think prices will continue to rise and that 59% of Canadians think we're in a recession. And that's mainly because they see these price increases, because it's a bit unusual for to see a poll like that when we have historically low unemployment at the same time. So people are really feeling it, even though they're employed. You see it in food prices. You see it in goods prices. You see it, obviously, in energy prices. The Bank of Canada noted in a survey, a consumer survey it did recently, that consumers are also noticing things, and you might have noticed this, I have too, for like the quantity of food that they're buying is smaller than it used to be, and the price is also going up. So it's all over the place. We're seeing inflation everywhere in the economy now. More than half of the CPI, consumer price index components, according to the Bank of Canada, are rising faster than 5%. So it's not just a couple of things in the economy that are driving inflation. It's all over the place, and people see it and feel it, and it has a real effect on consumers, and in a way that we haven't seen in 30 years. This is, you know, the interesting thing about it. You have to be, you know, basically over 45 or 50 to have really remembered when we had this type of inflation in the past. We haven't had it in 30 years.
Just curious though, looking back at the 20, 30 years ago, was it kind of mirroring now where, you know, we have very high inflation, interest rate increasing, correct me if I'm wrong, but were labor shortages part of the equation at that time?
No, we had high unemployment and high inflation at the same time in the 70s and 80s. This is often referred to as stagflation. So that's one difference. Right now, we have historically low unemployment and relatively high inflation. Back in those days, in the early 80s, for example, the unemployment rate was up around 12-13% as the inflation rate was during that inflationary problem. So that is one significant difference than back in those days.
And what is the highest that interest rates have reached in our history?
I guess that would be in 1981, 82, when interest rates reached around 20%, 19, 20%. I can remember it, actually. I was not that old at the time, but I do remember it. A lot of people lost their houses as a result of that particular attempt to bring inflation down by the central bank. We're not going to get anywhere near that to deal with this problem. Because again, we're starting from interest rates at a very low and stimulative rate and moving them up. The bank is moving them up to what it calls, at least to what they regard as a neutral rate, where they will neither stimulate nor hopefully contract the economy. They may have to go beyond that, though. As I say, part of this is, you know, there's a bit of a guessing game here about what it's really going to take to bring that inflation level of around 8% back down to their target range of 2%. They estimate, or they forecast, that next year, 2023, they think they can get inflation down to about 4.5%, and they hope by 2024 they can get it back down to just over 2%.
So it's going to be a bit of a slow and drawn out process to try and get things back to normal, so to speak, with inflation.
I think that's a very fair comment. This is going to take time. There is a lag effect on these rate increases and the effect they actually have on the economy. It is going to take time. We're going to be living with inflation well above what we're used to, at least for the next couple of years, and maybe beyond that. And we're starting to see it already. Interest rates going up, and that obviously has an effect on consumers in a lot of ways. We're already seeing the effects of this in the housing market. I mean, I read one statistic that said that in Toronto, the housing market in June dropped 41% compared to last year. And you can conclude that that's almost entirely attributable to these rate increases and the expectation that they're going to continue.
So these rate increases There are positives directly, just as the example you just mentioned, with regards to someone looking to buy a house, looking to buy in that sense. This is a positive as well.
Well, I don't know if it's a positive, because those that own homes that are on variable rate mortgages are seeing their mortgage rates go up immediately. And whether they'll be able to afford that is a question. And those that are in fixed term mortgages that have to renew anytime soon, they're going to be paying a lot more. So, it's good in the sense that it's taken some of the demand out of the housing market. But for those who have mortgages, it's not a good story.
Definitely. So yeah, a 1% increase for someone with a mortgage, they're going to feel it, is what I'm getting at. Yes.
Yeah, and it's going to be more than a 1% increase before we're finished here, for sure. It's going to be at least a 2 or 3% increase, but at least before this story is over.
What does this mean for local businesses in these incremental increases?
Well, that's a good question. The main problem that businesses face right now, as you alluded to, I think at the outset, is labor supply shortages. We're basically seeing the economy operating at what I would call full employment. The Bank of Canada actually says in its report, the labor market has sustained or surpassed maximum sustainable employment. That's, I think, a way of saying that we're at full employment. So the big problem for businesses, I don't think right now, is so much interest rates, it's labor supply. And that is feeding through, that labor supply shortage to some degree is feeding through into higher wage demands, which is also putting a little bit of pressure on inflation as well. And because businesses are passing those costs on to the consumer, that seems to be the big short-term issue for business. Those that are leveraged and have lots of debt are going to face, obviously, higher borrowing costs and debt servicing costs. So that's not a good thing either, obviously. But I think the main problem for business right now across the economy, in all different sectors of the economy, both low and high skilled, seems to be labor shortages. You know, we've got an unemployment rate that's, I think, at about a 45-year low.
Well, again, definitely a very unique position that we're in right now. So, and thank you for sharing, you know, some perspective on what this means. I think it can be challenging sometimes for the average person to sort of understand what this all means sometimes. So I think it's great.
Well, it's challenging for the central bank to understand what it all means and where it's all going. I mean, this is an unprecedented, it really is. An unprecedented set of circumstances. We haven't really seen anything like this before. We've seen high inflation before, but we haven't seen all of these contextual factors coming together that are driving the inflation, because we haven't been through a pandemic like this and the after effects of a pandemic in 100 years. And things were a lot different 100 years ago during the Spanish influenza. So it's difficult and complicated and uncertain even for the so-called experts, and the Bank of Canada has acknowledged that in their recent report, where they said they basically got this wrong. They made estimates and calls about inflation pressures and the path of the economy last fall that they acknowledged were really off the mark, because they didn't really understand what's going on out there in both the mainly in the international economy, but also to a degree in the domestic economy. So everybody's a bit confused, and it's going to take a while before we see clear as to where the Canadian economy is actually going to head in the next 2 or 3 years. I don't think anybody has an absolutely certain read on that.
Yeah, no one has a crystal ball, but what it does appear to, just in the immediate future, some more incremental interest rate increases, with the hope of getting inflation back to a manageable percent, for sure.
Yeah, back to their target range of between 1% and 3%. Yeah.